This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Is this just a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this, because I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
I would be a good prom date, because I don't say no to anything.
Get ready for the social hour.
In Spokane, Washington, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, comedian Jen Murphy. And now your host. He spent the day ironing his American flag pattern thong, getting ready for the 4th of July. Deese Casillas.
Mullum Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode. Thank you for hanging out with us and making it through all the craziness in the world today. Back in studio for you as per the new schedule on the show. Jeremy and Sophie, no longer in studio with us. They'll kind of be here sporadically moving forward. We'll have some special comedian guest hosts coming in and hanging out as we go. And once again, we've gone to Tuesday and Thursday release dates instead of just Wednesdays, pushing to that potentially 5 days a week. So we're going to see how dedicated I truly am to this. But in studio now, we have via Zoom all the way from California, the beautiful studio city, the very funny. Give it up for Jen Murphy, everyone. Jen, how you doing?
Oh. Clapping. I was gonna clap for myself.
Yeah, that's the studio audience. I got a live studio audience here. I didn't know you. Bet you didn't know that. How you doing?
Thank you for that applause, because it's been so long since I've heard any applause.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, so we were kind of talking briefly before this started. Jen, you're in California, so comedy has not started back up down there for you guys. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked to do 2 live shows in the last week that are in a bar, but other than that, pretty much no,
pretty much nothing. So
yeah, quiet since March.
Yeah, I mean, I was it was odd. I was through California about a month and a half ago, probably 6 weeks ago. Yeah, and it was very odd. I grew up in LA, and going through there, and we went all the way up drove all the way up the coast through San Francisco. It's probably people are moving around in LA a little bit more now, but it was eerie for a while when it was just kind of dead and, like I Am Legend status out there, right?
Yeah, like the whole month of April for sure. Like you go down busy streets and there's just nothing, just completely empty.
Right. Unfortunately, yeah.
Now it's getting a little busier. They open bars this week. So there's some people in bars, restaurants.
So some stuff's starting to open a little bit for down there. And you got two shows coming up, is that right? Or you did?
No,
you...
I actually did one of them last week. That was my first time being out.
Okay, how did
bar in Santa Monica? It was cool. It was weird.
Yeah,
I felt like you were like readjusting to society, like to be in a room with more than two people in it.
Were you worried about going up? Were you worried about how it was going to go after not doing it for a few months? Did you feel like there was any ring rust for you or anything?
I really didn't. I mean, I got a little nervous, but it was like that good kind of nervous.
Yeah.
Where your adrenaline starts going. But no, once I wasn't really worried about like being rusty too much. It's like once you tell the first joke, you know what I mean? You kind of just, you're back in it.
Right. It just flows. There's definitely that excitement. I did my first show last night also for the first time in a few months. And I was a little like, all right, am I going to remember these bits? And you start going and then you're like, all right, this is... Yeah, I could do this in my sleep, it turns out. So
yeah, it made me feel good. I was like, okay, it's not too bad. I just, the thing that I felt worse about was like, it's been a couple of months and I didn't write enough new jokes.
Yeah, well, that's...
You know, as a comic, you just beat yourself up. I didn't want to do any COVID jokes, though.
Well, that's good, though, because that's... I mean, I was talking to another comic the other day, and it's, you know, it's so... It's like this hack material that everyone's going to, you know, I mean, no one's going to have an interesting take on it. Plus, everyone's had a compacted ass full of COVID for the last 3 months. They don't want to hear about it when they're getting their night out, you know?
Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't mind the comics that did have it. It's just, I figured there was going to be people that have jokes about COVID, so I might as well just not even. And also, it's like you said, if you can come up with a really great one, yeah, do it for sure. But I know I don't, mine are going to be just basic.
Yeah, there's no hot. Yeah, I mean, someone's going to be doing it better. So why even at that point? God, I completely spaced what I was going to. I had something there. God, it's been a long day. I was out in the sun all day. I mean, getting back out there and doing it again. I remember what I was going to say. Not writing new jokes. I definitely feel you there. I wrote, I think, maybe three jokes the entire time that were like for stage, not for like other things I do. But I think part of the problem is like we weren't living life. So there's no experience to like draw from and be like, oh, this is a quirky thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Also, I love usually with the way I figure jokes out is I write premises.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go to like open mics or something and try it out and kind of work it out on stage. So to me, just sitting home, just writing by myself, it's not as much fun. I like to work stuff out.
Yeah, it's really impossible to make material work without some sort of audience at an open mic to figure it out. It is part of the craft. I mean, it's the only way it really works.
Yeah, and it was just hard to be creative because, I mean, we started with COVID and then when Black Lives Matter hit, it was just like, everything was just so depressing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't really think creatively. I was like, let me just try and get through the day and not get too depressed.
Right. We just had a cavalcade of things coming at us trying to kill us for the last 3 months, you know. From starting with it's funny, you go back and like the year started with, you know, this giant wildfire in Australia. And then it just got we had this 5G conspiracy. We had murder hornets for a minute. We've got
Kobe dying.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing. I mean, the movie Cats came out. That was tragic. I swear to God, that's where it all went wrong. I think that, you know, that atom smasher that they have where they're working on dark matter in Arizona, I think the scientists just fuck something up and the movie Cats came out of that. And it's just been, we've been thrown off course ever since.
So funny. There's something interesting though. So like the month of April, before Black Lives Matter came around, because then that got like, I don't know, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
That was really sad. But before that, I felt like in the month of April, once I got over the initial like first 2 weeks of COVID shock where like I lost all my work and, you know, you're devastated, like
right.
I just lost every bit of work. But after that, I had a few weeks where I felt like just so relaxed because I realized like, oh, I don't have this daily pressure of like beating myself up if I don't you know, as a comic, even if you're not performing, like, I should be hanging out. I should go to comedy club and just hang out. I should be networking, or I should be writing more.
Yeah, you kind of...
I kind of feel like the pressure, it was a chance for all that pressure to be off, because you have nowhere to go. So you're like, I don't have that.
Yeah, I guess I'll just relax for once.
Did you feel that at all? Do you even feel that daily pressure?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I definitely... honestly, I was probably one of the few people that thoroughly enjoyed COVID. I started a scrapbook. I enjoyed it so much. I made more memories in the last few months, because I mean, my day to day life for the last, I don't even know how many years, has been nonstop something work related, just go, go, go. And this forced me to take a break. That I needed, I just wasn't able to take. And like, I mean, really, once it hit, I'm like, oh, I love this. I'm fine. And I don't really like people that much.
A lot of people.
Yeah. Sorry. I think a lot of people definitely felt that break, and that's, and took advantage of it in a good way. So, I mean, comics are always kind of, yeah, like you said, they want to go, they got to hang out, they got to write. So to get that pulled back a little and be forced to kind of chill, really, it was probably good for all of us, I think. You know,
yeah, it was kind of like a reset button.
Yeah, if we use it right. It sounds like you did. It sounds like you got a chance to relax. You kind of got to enjoy it a little bit, right?
Yeah, and I also think it, because you get so used to your day to day, it kind of like also forced me to put my creative energy into other things that I normally wouldn't, because I'm usually just so like,
right,
just set on the same thing.
Yeah.
Like only stand up. So this gave you a chance when you can't do stand up to be creative in other ways.
What did you discover? Is there any new thing you found you started doing that?
Yeah, I discovered that I'm pretty good at making these high school level friendship bracelets.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. I love that.
I started doing it. I started doing it just as a reason, like a way to relax.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like
but no, I did.
It's like your fidget spinner.
Yeah, it is. I did spend a lot more time writing like scripts and other forms of, and I also started just making silly videos just for fun.
Yeah.
Which I didn't used to do. Just like, you know, 2 minute videos to put on social media or something.
Sure.
But yeah, just different ways to spend your time.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, I mean, a creative mind never stops creating, whether it's videos or friendship bracelets, you know, and, you know, but how many friendship bracelets did you make, Jen?
Well, I know it's going to sound bad since it's been like 3 months, but I really only made like 10.
Oh, that's pretty good. So that's 10 more than I made. So did you give them out yet, or are you waiting? Do you have names on them?
Yeah, I made some. I made some for my nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Was there
anything that you kind of rediscovered that you love, you know, like that you used to do and then you found yourself having time to do again? So you're like, oh, it turns out I love underwater basket weaving. I forgot about that. Or, you know.
I kind of tuned back into just zoning out and watching YouTube music videos.
Okay.
I haven't done in so long.
What's your favorite music video you saw recently? What's a good one?
Mostly Foo Fighters. I love Foo Fighters.
Okay, some Dave Grohl. Yeah, all right, yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah. Because surprisingly, I've watched way less television than I did before being in quarantine.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You would think this would be the time you would spend a lot more hours, but I just didn't want to. I think so much was going on and my brain couldn't, like, I would turn on a TV show and then just turn off after 5 minutes. Like, I couldn't focus.
Right.
I think that's how I rediscovered just playing music and, like, you know, when you just zone out in your bedroom and just sort of enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
That sounds cheesy, but.
Well, I think you're what that is, I think, is like you tuning back into yourself, because when your daily life, everyone's grinding all the time. So we need like an escape to watch TV or something. Whereas like now we don't need that escape. So we're like kind of getting in tune with ourselves, like sitting with ourselves for a while is fine.
Yeah.
And reading or writing something you want to do, or, you know, those things become the more the norm instead of feeling like I just need my brain to shut the fuck up for the next 45 minutes so I can feel like I didn't want, you know, I made it through this day at least.
Well, I also watch so much more news than I've ever watched. And so I think with so much crazy shit really going on,
yeah,
you try and watch a TV show and you're like, oh, forget it. It's just...
yeah, it's depressing. I mean, anything so you
the
turn
the real
on,
world is way more in...
it's
intriguing right now.
It's so crazy. Yeah. I was through LA for a while. I've been kind of all over. We definitely had a lot going on with Black Lives Matter here in Spokane. I went over to Seattle, down in Denver, and was
you
part
did
of it.
A lot of
there.
Traveling during that. Is it like in an RV or something? Or
no, just I don't value my life, so I just like I've flown a couple times. I don't like rent cars and just like I'll fly down to places and rent a car and drive back and just kind of.
Oh, so you've done this all by yourself?
Yeah. One trip I with wow. down to Denver. I flew down to Denver. With a friend, and then we drove back up and like went through just kind of cruised up, took a couple days, went through like Moab and Utah, and then all just kind of chilled out and just, you know, I like to adventure, so I'm like, I've got all this free time, I'm like, I'm just gonna go, and I have a dog nanny, so
awesome.
Yeah. But that's, I mean,
the best, yeah, that was the best time to do it. There's nothing else to do, so.
Well, I mean, there's no, my thing was like, I kept telling people like, we will never, hopefully never have another time like this in our lifetime, probably, like with these opportunities and to see things that, you know, yeah. This dead, like, that's why I wanted to go to like LA and San Francisco and, you know, go to Fisherman's Wharf and there's no one around and just like, that's such a weird thing to see, you know?
Yeah. And travel without traffic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how has it been down there? Not again, just the COVID thing, but like with the Black Lives Matter and things like that. There's a lot of that going on in LA, I assume. I mean, I was, you know, in Santa Monica, I know there was a big protest and whatnot. Is there still stuff going on regularly with that or?
No, I think the last protest we had was last Sunday, because okay. It coincided with the pride, the gay pride parade.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
But instead of calling it gay pride this year, they called it a Black Lives Matter, but it was really, really peaceful. Like
sure.
Thousands of people. It was a nice peaceful one, but definitely the first week when you said they were rioting in Santa Monica, that was kind of scary because I've never really been in the middle of something like that. I mean, when they put us on a 6 o'clock curfew.
Yeah.
Like you can't leave your house after, even though we have nowhere to go anyway, it was still just weird.
It's ominous. Yeah.
But also my friends and I were like, we're in lockdown during a lockdown.
Right, double lockdown. We really mean it though.
Like what are the chances of this ever happening at the same time?
Right. It's just, it's wild. It's one of those things where it just keeps compounding. And like, I'm like, we're halfway through the year. What do we have left? What's happening now?
But I think Black Lives Matter became so big because we were all in quarantine, because otherwise all those people would have gone to work. They wouldn't have had time.
Sure. That's a good point.
Probably gather for that many days and that many people.
Well, not only gather, but people had time to really pay attention and to focus on it and look at, you know, these issues that have obviously been going on forever and start to really like see it. Instead of just like, oh, in passing, I saw like some article on Yahoo or something. It's like incessant all day. And they're like, oh, this is actually a thing, you know? I mean, like I said, I grew up in LA. I mean, I lived in South Central during the LA riots. So like, I mean, I remember that.
Rodney King?
Yeah. So, I mean, I remember that specifically. So it was really interesting going, Spokane protests turned violent at a certain point, not due to the protesters, due to some white nationalists that came in and kind of stirred up some things, which I guess is kind of, it's now coming out. That's more of the trend is what's happening,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, if, I mean, clever. I never imagined them to be that clever to undermine a movement in a clever way like that. But I'm super unfortunate, but yeah, got a little crazy here in Spokane. It's interesting to see.
Oh, sorry. I keep cutting you off.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what about what's happening in Seattle? Is that that's still going on, right? The Chaz?
Yeah, I believe they have changed it to CHOP now, which is the Capitol Hill something.
The seven blocks are still on.
Yep. Yeah, it's still up. It's not the autonomous zone anymore. They changed it to, I don't know what the acronym is now. Not doing my good due diligence here, but yeah, it is still going. It's weird because like I don't think they know how to deal with it because the governor's not really doing anything. The mayor's not really doing anything. I definitely feel for them and want, I like what they're doing, but also there's a lot of businesses trapped in there that are kind of getting affected. And there's obviously some negative element there. There's in the last couple of days, there's been more kind of crime happening in that area that the police won't respond to. So it's unfortunate that, of course, anything positive, there's going to be some sort of ramification. Some bad people get in there and give it a bad name. But yeah, it's still going on.
Well, that's too bad. Hopefully it doesn't get too negative.
Well, yeah. I mean, God, I guess they're just, I was talking to...
It's probably going to before it actually dissembles, right?
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, they don't really seem to have a plan of how they want to tackle it or what they want to do. They seem to be giving them that autonomy of just kind of being. But again, who knows how long that'll last. I mean, it could get crazy. I mean, realistically, the federal government could decide to take a stance against it, and then it could get really bad. So, I mean, our current administration doesn't have a it's not always most level-headed decisions. So things could get wild. Who knows? But well, let's talk more about you and then all the craziness going on in the world. You do comedy. You've been doing comedy for how long? How long now?
It's about 14 years.
Oh wow! Okay. And where did you start doing comedy?
The first time I ever did it was in New York.
Okay.
I moved there when I was. I grew up in Southern California, and then I moved there when I was 22 because I really wanted to do like Broadway, like drama.
All right.
And then I was taking acting classes and I started doing improv, and it really was my acting teacher that pushed me into doing stand-up. I probably would have never done it.
Really?
If it wasn't. Well, he used to tell me, like, every time I do a dramatic scene, he'd be like, I just want to laugh.
Not the right, you got eliciting the wrong reaction there.
But I was very shy. I'm like, there's no way I can do stand-up. And then luckily, he happened to be good friends with Colin Quinn.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And so he had my teacher had his own acting studio. And he was like, I'm going to get Colin Quinn to come in here and just do a stand-up workshop. Like, Colin Quinn does not teach stand-up comedy.
Right.
Or anything. He did it as a favor. So there was like five of us that did the workshop with Colin Quinn for 3 weeks. It was awesome.
And then you're a bit after that, you were in.
And then the, it's kind of like the similar, what happens down here, you take a class and then your very first performance ever is at like the Hollywood Improv and you're like, this is amazing.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to be a star.
My first time on stage was at a really good New York club that was packed and it was awesome.
Where were you at?
Stand Up New York.
Okay.
On the Upper West Side.
And how, so you went from, you grew up in Southern California. We must've talked about that before. Where at in California?
Yeah. When I was in Spokane, I think we talked about it. I grew up in Arcadia, which is kind of by Pasadena.
Uh huh. And then you moved to New York when you were how old?
22.
So.
And then I came back to Los Angeles when I was 30, 31.
So you're in New York for almost 10 years.
Yeah, it was there a long time. It was fun. I think being in your early 20s is such a perfect time to go.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because you don't really have a lot of responsibility. New York is so fun.
Yeah. Well, and you can handle like sleeping in, in a closet instead of like, you don't have to have all the amenities. You get older, you're like, I don't know. I'd like to have a closet, and a front door, like
I lived in this railroad apartment that we got it for pretty cheap, but it would be like, it's called a railroad because it's just one long apartment.
Yeah.
So I had a roommate, but it's like my room her room, then you get to the kitchen. So like for me to get to the bathroom, I would have to pass through
sure,
her room.
Yeah.
And the toilet was in the kitchen. The toilet and the shower were in the kitchen, like right across from the refrigerator.
Sure. Well, that's where the plumbing was. So yeah, you know.
I've never seen that before or since.
You're probably better off. Yeah, I mean, it is the perfect time, though, because you can deal with that stuff then. I mean, I'm 37 now. There's no way. I'm too, like, I still stay in a lot of Motel 6s when I'm on the road, but that's about, you know, a couple nights of that, and I'm like, all right, I need to be home in my space. I need, you know, need to be able to stretch, not be able to touch both walls of this place when I stretch out, so...
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me with New York. It was a lot of fun, but then after that long, you're like, maybe I don't want to be on top of people all the time, like taking the subway and just on the street, you know, it's so crowded.
Right. How do you feel that? I mean, I imagine that's got to be the best place to start comedy and especially kind of succeed at it, where to a point where, I mean, you know, you were able to make a career out of it. So where, I mean, a lot of people probably started there and then finish there shortly after because it doesn't go anywhere.
Well, you know, I started it there, but I didn't do it for very long before my mind was already thinking of coming back to LA.
Mm-hmm.
So actually in hindsight, I feel like if I probably should have stayed in New York. I mean, it doesn't matter now, but
yeah,
I, at the time I just was, I don't think I had fully committed myself to stand up yet until I did come back to LA. So most of my time has been in LA. Most of my stand up career.
So it took you a little, so once you got back to LA, is that what made you decide that that was what you wanted to do full time?
I went out to an open mic and I met this headliner who was like, look, I'm going to tell you what to do. If you want to commit, you got to fully commit, like go to open mics, do all this, like take it serious. And then I just started going full time. But also, you know, being in LA may have helped me also, though, because I don't know about New York, but in LA, I don't know if it's because there were fewer women. There's a lot more now, but 14 years ago, it was still not as many.
Yeah.
So any new female that came along, like I had a lot more opportunities 2 years into comedy than I do now, even though I'm funnier now. But because when you're new and if I was funny in the beginning, you know, as long as you're funny enough, they're gonna be like, oh, here's a new female. Like I got TV opportunities, like,
damn, wow.
Just so much more.
Guest hosted the Tonight Show one time, no big deal.
No, nothing like huge, but right. I mean, but it's almost dangerous too, because they were having me 2 years in, I was getting showcases for like the Montreal Comedy Festival, and it's like, you're not ready. And
right.
It kind of screws you a little bit because that's their first impression of you.
Sure.
So if they see my name now, they'll be like, yeah, I remember her.
Right. Yeah. It is a dangerous thing. I mean, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing. You have to, I mean, I've definitely personally over the years, especially early on, I mean, there were definitely opportunities I wasn't ready for that I pushed myself for, because I'm like, okay, this is worth, you know, like I was always kind of the mindset, like, bet on yourself. You know, it's part of the reason I was like willing to do comedy full time. I think most people who decide to make that jump like you did, you kind of have to just bet on yourself, you know? But there's some things where I was just like, maybe that's not, you know, because of what you said, you know, you don't want to have that first impression or that bad impression where you're like, all right, maybe I need to think about, maybe I'm not quite ready for that one yet. And then when I am ready, I'll do it right, instead of just kind of, you know, haphazardly. Of course, I look back, I was looking through some archives for some video for someone the other day, and I'm looking at stuff from just a couple years ago, and I'm like, how was I getting, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, what the fuck was happening even? What? Like I was getting work. What is going on? You know,
that's so funny.
Do you ever?
It's so difficult because people did tell me, they're like, "Be careful! Don't go out too soon. Don't make it." But at the same time, when you're new and somebody's like, "Hey, would you like to showcase for this?" What do you say? No.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, maybe if I was smart, I would have said no. But you know, you never know, because you see some comics who are brand new and they just get lucky, or you know.
Yeah, right time, right place, but. It is hard. I mean, especially, yeah, back then, like you said, as less women in doing it. So, I mean, people are looking for, diversity of opinion and takes on things too. And in a thing that's, especially back then in LA, probably very, white male dominated, people are like, oh, hey, look. We don't have to hear dick jokes all night. Look at this. I mean, like this is probably a good break it up a little bit here. And I still feel like that. I mean, in my area, we had a good group of female comics who were doing it, and like a bunch of them fell off, and it even bums me out, because when I'm trying to put shows together, I'm like, God, I want to find someone. Ugh, like who can, and if one person's not available, I'm like, all right, well, you're getting all dudes tonight, I guess, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Sorry.
It was so fun working with you in Spokane.
Yeah, you got to come back soon, hopefully. If we open up again, we will see. What's some of the things you've? Been obviously besides doing stand up, which is again you said is kind of starting to pick up a little bit again. Have you looked at stuff on the road, traveling to get any gigs, or is it just not really?
Not really. I mean, there's a club I work in Arizona that I could probably get back to, although they opened up a few weeks ago, and now I think they're starting to cancel stuff because the numbers rose a lot, so I don't know. It's all still kind of iffy.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody asked me, I would go. I haven't really reached out to too many people.
Right. Well, it's still so fresh where you don't really, it's like, yeah, you can start sending emails, but it also might be, too early. Cause who knows what, Florida opened up and then all of a sudden they've got, like 3,500 new cases in the last few days where they're like, oh, well.
I know, it's crazy.
So this might be just the new norm.
Yeah. I mean, I want to perform again, but I'm not like in this desperate rush of like, I have to do it.
Sure.
I'm willing to kind of wait it out a little bit longer.
Did you do any Zoom shows, online shows, online stand-up?
I did like two.
Yeah.
I fought it so hard. When people first started asking, I was like, no, I'm not doing stand-up online. And then finally I did it only because I was scared to do it. So I was like, okay, now I got to do it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm
scared that it's going to be awful. And they weren't that bad. They were okay. It was better than I thought.
Okay.
But the weird thing is, when Zoom, when you're talking, it puts your face as the front. So I felt like I was just doing stand up to myself. Yeah. Have you done it?
No, not stand. I chose not to. I did one variety show where we had audience and we were interacting with the audience. Like it's more like an improv show. Like we were taking suggestions and playing games, which I like that. That I was willing to do, but where I was just doing my jokes to, like you said, to myself basically, or my dog
it's
in the
weird.
Corner. I was like, that sounds like a nightmare. I don't think I could do it, guys. I mean, I commend the people who do. It's got to be definitely an odd take. So,
but then I felt like I was overcompensating for the fact that I'm just sitting. So I was like moving my hands, like being like super animated, although I'm like, ah.
Oh, you didn't even stand up for it, Jen? You just sat for it?
Well, I felt beforehand, I kind of like tested. I felt more awkward just standing in my room than I
sure.
did.
Sure. Yeah.
Sitting. I don't know. It felt even more like fake.
Yeah, I watched some parts of friends of mine's Zoom comedy shows where they're like standing up in their living room and they've got a mic stand and they've got a mic.
Yeah.
And like they're like saying, telling their jokes. And I'm just like, I felt pain inside of me for them. I'm like, oh my God, this whole thing just seems like my nightmare right now. I mean, and you don't know, like the timing is just, you can tell it's stilted and off and you're like, ah, God.
I know, that's why I felt like if I just accepted the reality of it, I'm in my room on my computer instead of trying to pretend I'm in a comedy club.
Sure.
With a mic stand. You know what I mean? That's why I felt like it was a little more comfortable just to be what is really happening.
Were they shows where you could hear or see any of the audience?
Yeah, there was one where you could kind of see like all the little different people, except the one I did had about 60 people, but they're nervous that because you see people just sitting in their living rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
But they were nervous since people are at home and interacting, and some of them might have kids there or something. They muted everybody.
Okay.
So you could see people watching you, but most of them were muted.
Oh, weird. Yeah, it seems, huh.
But then I did in one more where they didn't mute them and you could hear laughter. And that was pretty cool. I kind of got that adrenaline rush that you get from a real show.
That seemed a little better. Yeah, a couple of people described ones like that to me. And I'm like, all right, that's at least better so you can know if there's a reaction.
Yeah, you can't hear any laughter. That's just so much worse.
Yeah. Like, listen, I mean, I've been on stage and said things and you don't hear laughter. I can't imagine sitting in my living room and not hearing laughter when I'm talking to myself. I'd be like, yeah. What the fuck am I? What am I doing with my life anymore? I mean, I ask myself that all the time anyway. So,
I mean, I think Zoom shows were great for, I think it probably for a lot of people, it probably saved them mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really have that problem. I wasn't like suffering from taking a month off from stand up, but I know there are some people that really desperately need it, so it was probably good.
Yeah, for them. Yeah, I'm with you. I wasn't really, I mean, the last couple weeks I've been kind of chomping at the bit a little more, been like, all right, I'm kind of ready to get back out there and like start talking again. But I mean, I was staying busy with a lot of writing and doing sketch comedy and stuff, kind of like you. So I was still. Writing jokes, but again, not in producing content, but it wasn't this instant like, hey, I say these things to you, you laugh, and then I say something, you laugh, you know. So but it was still fulfilling, which is nice. So
nice.
What's the number one thing you missed during the quarantine? Like thing you wanted besides stand up, like that you wanted to do that you didn't get to go do anymore? Like was there a place to eat or what was it that you loved that you were missing?
You know, I used to go once a week across the street to this bar and I would bring my computer and it was like my favorite time to just sit and like have a beer and write.
Yeah.
And I really miss that. I write at home, but for some reason I just loved, it's like being out in public and you're hearing the noise, but I was still tuned in. It was like my perfect little writing space.
Yeah.
So I really miss that, although I heard that place just opened back up. And I missed just the hanging out with comics, not necessarily performing, but just when you go hang out at one of the comedy clubs and you're not performing and just, you know, have some drinks with comics.
That camaraderie and just kind of.
Yeah. And I missed hugging people. Like I live all by myself, so I'm not, you know, like not hugging another adult human. I say adult, there's no kids around me either, but I'm not hugging someone for, like once it got towards the end of April, I kind of started to feel it. I was like, this is a little bit damaging, like mentally.
Yeah.
My soul is starting to hurt. Like I need a hug.
I just need a hug. Yeah. Virtual hugs aren't the same. Yeah. Zoom a hug.
Well, I'm kind of known for hugging people a little bit too hard, like in the comedy world. So I actually had a few comics reach out to me and ask me, they're like, are you doing okay with this? Because I know you're a big hugger.
Yeah, that's the old Jen Hard Hug Murphy. We've all heard of her.
I'm one of those people who holds on just a little too long. And then I just whisper, I'm sorry, I'm lonely.
Yeah, this is just who I am.
Well, sometimes as a comic, you're alone all day, and then I would go out at night, and I'd be like,
"The people, I'm an incomplete person. Fill me up." I get that. Yeah. Were you like sticking to the quarantine? Were you not interacting with other people at all, or?
No, I stuck to it hardcore.
Oh man!
I mean, luckily, I live in an apartment building where I have a few neighbors. We would meet out by the pool and sort of all sit around, so I think that saved me. I wasn't completely alone.
Okay.
I mean, I never really interacted with them before quarantine, and now we're best friends.
You like, are you think you'll still we've be friends?
We've kind of
afterwards?
Become like the Breakfast Club.
Okay. Misfits. They hang out.
Is that
together.
Too old of a reference for people?
I don't know. I got a pretty broad demo. I think they'll get it. The ones that don't can Google it.
That's how I felt a lot of times. Like all of a sudden these strangers come together and you know their life stories after a couple of weeks.
Right. You're just all of a sudden your tight friend. Are you guys going to stay friends afterwards? You think you'll.
That's the question.
Yeah. Just this was just quarantine. You knew what this was when it started.
But I was grateful for that. I mean, if I lived like just in a house by myself.
Yeah.
And didn't have any, because I really stuck to it. Like I didn't even see family for a while and stuff. Like that would be way more depressing.
Yeah. I didn't either, but I don't anyway. So I choose. That's a choice. That's a lifestyle choice I've crafted for myself.
Where do you live? Did you have anyone around you? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, I live alone. I mean, I've got my dog, but I have like a couple friends, you know, a handful of probably like two or three friends that I still saw regularly. And the people I saw regularly kind of almost every day before this anyway. And we just kind of kept hanging out and I mean, just doing stuff. I mean, yeah, I never stopped. Like I said, I don't value my life, Jen. So I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to go do stuff and have fun. And you know, you were living on what you could do, but I was so enthralled. You know, I rediscovered photography. I used to do a lot of photography and I've kind of rediscovered that. So, I mean, I just run around all night and take pictures and stuff like that and go to different areas and travel and take pictures. And it was really, yeah, so it was fun. We just, you know, we'd me and one or two or three other people would just get in a car and be like, all right, we're going to go for a couple days and we'll be back eventually. And, you know, none of us anywhere to be.
That's so cool. Yeah. And this is such a, probably a great time for photography.
Well, that's, yeah, again, part of the reason I wanted to go to places like San Francisco and LA and Seattle and stuff to photograph the cities when they're kind of empty and desolate, yeah, to kind of really, you know, capture what's all this that's happening. So
I have a friend that did that. He left at the beginning of quarantine and drove all the way to New York, like drove cross country.
That's awesome.
And his pictures, it's just like every single city along the way that's empty. Like it's a pretty amazing documentary of photos.
Yeah.
About COVID.
I think it's a great way to document this. And again, I mean, I hope, I think this gave some people perspective and hopefully that perspective stays, that, you know, of like, oh, well, you know, maybe these things aren't as important. Maybe I should focus on these things more. And like, you know, that idea of just, hey, like traveling across the country and really looking at everything that happened. I don't know. I think that's super important. And I'm glad that people were doing that.
I think it's also the feeling, there's a lot of people I know in LA too, that you sense that they have this feeling they're like untouchable. And
sure.
I think this brought back like everybody became equal. Like we're all out of work now.
Yeah. That, yeah. I mean, what a weird feeling in a place like LA where there's so, you know, again, where there's so much usually going on, for it to come, you know, just to a screeching halt and slowly start tiptoeing back to being open. You know, where you can go and what you can do. And I mean, people are, I mean, a lot of stuff. Where are you guys at with things opening up down there?
Like I said, like just last Friday, so they opened restaurants a little bit. It could be like 30% capacity.
Okay.
Like 2 weeks ago. And then bars were just able to open last week.
Okay. So,
but most people I've seen, it's like most that everyone, there's a lot of outside seating. I feel like most people are doing the outside thing, but we're still kind of iffy. I think there's still a lot of people staying home. It doesn't seem too busy.
Are you ready to go back out? Or were you worried about it pretty hard? I mean, you quarantined, so you obviously were a little.
I'm not too worried. And I think if I didn't live in this apartment building, I'd be less worried. But the people, like I said, that I become friends with are like super paranoid.
Really?
And I think because I'm interacting with them, I'm sort of just going on the same. But I think if I was by myself, I wouldn't be.
Just be ready. Just go. Nervous. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm not too worried.
I mean, yeah, it's, yeah, you know, I mean, you're going to get
it. I mean, I'm not one of those people that thinks it's not real or serious. It's definitely serious. But I just feel like, but I'm also, I'm not in a hurry to get out to a restaurant and stuff, because I went once last week and it's just weird.
Sure. It's weird. It doesn't seem right. And like, also, yeah,
the food isn't served the same. The waiters are all mad. It's just like,
yeah,
it's like with comedy. I'm like, I'll wait till it gets back more normal. I don't need to rush out.
Well, also, I don't know about you. I've found like that I love, I'm like, God, I've saved a ton of money. Like how much money was I spending going out to eat? I'm like, this is crazy. Yeah.
Oh, I've saved so much money. Not taking Ubers, not buying drinks, food, anything.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I like to cook too. So I'm like, oh, this is, I mean, really, honestly, this is great. I get to cook more and I save a ton of money by doing that. So,
yeah, it has. It's been, I've been cooking every day and I never used to cook. And it's another thing that's just like relaxing and enjoyable. I love it.
Yeah. I think it's those little things about life again that you start to find and go through. So,
are you, I don't know if I should bring this up, but is the Spokane community talking much about the D'Elia situation?
You know, actually, I was going to ask you about that. So good timing. I was just going to actually get into the news. I got a couple news stories, and that is one of them. Oh. So, God, thanks for the segue, Jen. Way to set me up on that one. you really knew where this show was going. that wasn't even planned. Let me play my little news intro, and then let's talk about.
Oh, you got a news intro.
Oh, this is
a
real show, Jen. Come on, I'm on 6 years. Yeah. We're going 1 second here.
Broadcasting live from the news mecca, Spokane, Washington, to our affiliates all over the world. This is the Social Hour News.
All right, because our correspondent from Studio City brought up the Chris D'Elia situation, we're going to talk about that first. I did want to get this because I've been trying to keep up on this, but also Whitney Cummings is coming out now, kind of talking about this, considering she worked with him on her show.
That's
Whitney.
When you know. I mean, I already figured it was true, but that's when you know it's serious because they were like best friends, and it's like once your friend has to talk against like. That's pretty bad because they didn't just work together. They were tight.
Yeah. Very, very close. And have you being down in LA, have you met Whitney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've met Whitney. And I've known Chris for a long time. We're not like, I mean, we're not good friends, but I mean, I met him when he was first doing open mics also. And
okay.
And I've seen him through the years many times.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. And I mean, I was lucky enough to work with Whitney a while back, and she's one of like the most thoughtful people and just like very nice and genuine thoughtful people you could ever meet.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I was really, really blown away by her generosity working, you know, for the weekend I worked with her, and she's just super nice. And yeah, I mean, what's your take on this thing with Chris D'Elia? I mean, you obviously, I mean, I've met him, but you sound like you've worked with him or known him for a while longer.
I mean, he was always just like friendly to me and cool. Mm-hmm. It was just, I don't know, it was weird. Like last Tuesday night was when it first started trending. I remember like 10 or 11 at night. It was pretty late, and I saw a tweet about it, and I never look at like trending stuff.
Yeah,
but I saw a tweet, so I kind of clicked on it and went down the rabbit hole, and I was like, wow. And it was just a bunch of comics saying stuff, and I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then like a day or two later when Newsweek put something out, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
It was weird because I don't know, I found it like extremely depressing. Like it really bothered me because I'm like, if it's true, that's depressing.
Sure.
And if it's not true, his life just got fucked. It's so crazy to see somebody like in one night, your life is done.
Sure.
Not your whole life, but I mean, you know, your career, like. And yeah. He might come back, but I'm just saying, like, it's weird, like, without even seeing it coming. Like, the girl that started this thing, it happened, like, 7 years ago or so.
Right.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm sure for him, like, who would ever think all of a sudden just boom in one night?
Yeah. Yeah. It happens so quickly. And again, from something, it's not like, hey, I did this last night. I should probably think about it. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
I can't imagine waking up and you've. Finding out your career is probably
at least hit the brakes for a good amount of time.
The
weird thing about this is so I and maybe this is different because in take this in the spirit you're it's intended being a woman who does comedy, maybe you don't hear certain things that guys hear or talk about with each other, but like it's one of those things that like the Louis C.K. thing, like that was kind of an open secret. Like, I mean,
we talked about it on stage.
People kind of in the comedy world knew about that for years. And then when it came out, but I mean, I've heard things like that about Chris D'Elia for several years.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
The underage thing?
Yes. And
I had not heard it. I mean, I knew he had sex with tons. I mean, he was one of those guys who you knew just had sex a lot, but to me, I'm like, whatever. Who cares?
Sure.
I never heard the underage.
Well, and that's what I mean. I mean, maybe because like maybe other guy comics wouldn't have that conversation with you because you're a female, you know, and that the but I've heard things like that before. And it's one of those things where I always think about, like, when are we going to normalize like fucking holding people accountable for their, because, you know, like it's like instead of just being like, yeah, that happens, just be like, wait, how about fuck that guy? No, that shouldn't happen. You know?
Well, I feel like that's what it's become now. So now it's not even the story of what he did. Now a lot of the story is his friends knew, and why didn't they say something? Like, people are trying to kind of attack his friend because his friends are acting like, what? We had no idea. And like, if you heard of it, then they did.
Well, right.
Because I wasn't sure, since I said I'd never heard of it. But if you're saying you did, then that's what a lot of people are talking about now, is like, why don't people speak out?
Yeah, and I think that's I mean, not that the other conversation shouldn't be had either about him actually doing it, but the conversation of being like, yeah, people need to you know, say something before it gets to this point. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I've heard things. I've talked to other people about it since it's kind of come out, and other guys have been like, oh yeah, I've heard about that for years. And I'm like, okay, so
but I also
like
wonder too, if you're one of his good friends and you know about this, who do you call?
Well, that's a good question too.
I mean, do you turn your friend into the authorities? Like, there's no, like somebody tweeted, they're like, there's no HR department for
right. Well, yeah, right. Oh, you mean there's a comic that's a piece of shit? Crazy.
So you need to call the FBI on your good friend.
Well, I think one of the, I mean, yeah. Who do you call? But also, like, I don't know, if I had a friend who was like, I knew was predatory towards younger girls. Like, first of all, it wouldn't be my friend anymore. That'd be the first thing, you know? I mean, I think a lot of the times, I mean, I've seen in scenes and I've been around where, like, you know, there's someone shitty. I'm sure you've seen it. There's someone shitty in that scene and they kind of get pushed out because of their actions, you know, and they just kind of don't get gigs and no one reciprocates and no one really wants ingratiates them. So they just kind of eventually kind of get worked out of the system, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but he's so likable and charismatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't have, I mean, I wouldn't, I don't know. It was a surprise. I don't know. I also think, I bet there's a lot of comedians because, and I just want to say, I'm not justifying anything you did. I'm just thinking of things that other people probably thought.
Sure.
I wonder if his friend, like, let's say there's the girls are 16 or 17. It's so close to being legal. I feel like there's a huge jump from if he was hitting on, like, let's say a 14-year-old, then his friends would probably be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like they thought in their head, close enough.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I
like, that's probably how we got away with it, is that they were just close.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I had a conversation with a comic from the Midwest the other day, and we were talking about this also, and his take was like, yeah man, I was in a green room with him one time. And there, he said he was talking to this girl, and he's like, yeah, she graduates this year. And he's like, we all kind of looked at each other like, maybe she was held back. Like, that's the look they all had. But I mean, I'm like, yeah, but probably not. You know?
Oh my God.
So
that's so creepy to be talking to a girl that hasn't graduated high school yet.
Yeah, so I mean I get what you're saying. There is a jump, but it's still, you know, oh God.
Yeah, no,
still,
I'm not justifying anything. I just to think of all different angles of what other people might, like his friends or something, might be thinking, like, mm.
Yeah. Right. So I mean, who we'll see. It is weird, because like I was thinking about this today too, and not to defend him by any means or take away from anything that did happen to any underage girls, but like there's this scenario too. It's kind of like I was akinning it to with someone to like school shooters, where when the media was telling people their names and, you know, and they were like famous, you know, even though they're dead a lot of times, like they were famous. Yeah. So people wanted to be a school shooter because they knew they'd get a moment of fame, even if they didn't get to live it, you know, see it live. And I think there's some people who like, that's kind of a moment of fame for some of these, you know, people who may be making false accusations to, not necessarily Chris D'Elia, but other, you know, when you see those false accusations come against people, it's kind of that, well, I kind of, you know, everyone wants to be a celebrity now with in this.
Yeah.
Era,
I think anytime there's a situation like this, you're always going to have a few that come out with false accusations. Like people tried to attack Joey Diaz and everybody on Twitter. This is one thing too. All of a sudden everyone on Twitter was defending Joey Diaz because he is like one of the nicest guys ever. Yeah. But I was like, oh, nobody defended Chris D'Elia. Nobody.
That probably says a lot.
Like every comic now is coming out being like, oh no, Joey Diaz is the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah. And no comment on Chris D'Elia.
Nobody defended him.
So honestly. Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens as this unfolds. I mean,
I also wonder how many of his friends are shitting their pants right now.
Oh, like for culpability?
People that may have been guilty of similar things.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, definitely, definitely true.
I mean, it's always scary. You know, anybody when something like this happens is going to start thinking back, like, what the hell did I do?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Just going through the Rolodex of where did I fuck up that might come out?
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, you have to be careful to be like, go back and be like, all right, did I ever, you know? Although if you have to go back and be like, did I ever sexually assault anyone? Like, that's probably
nothing that bad, no.
That's
a whole different thing. Yeah. I just mean like, you know, everybody's going to start thinking.
Sure. Yeah, just to hope that nothing, there's no indiscretions hiding. Again, that's why
I'm sure like Joey Diaz didn't think they'd come after him because he is like, they really have nothing on him. They had one video from the Rogan show like 15 years ago, but that's kind of Joey Diaz's act too.
Yeah,
like I think that one video they have is like, that's it, so that's not enough
to substantiate. So yeah, well, again, like you said, everyone came out in defense of him. No one did for Chris D'Elia. So,
but I also do agree with what women are. So as far as even that Joey Diaz thing, a lot of women are pissed. Maybe even if Joey Diaz didn't sexually assault anyone, whatever. I think women have come to a point where there is so much bad talk about female comedians and that's just an example of it.
Yeah.
Even if he's not that guy and he's, you know, he doesn't make women blow him for stage time. But I think a lot of people are just pissed of like how many years we've all heard and been talked bad about, but we're just like, well, that's just what I have to take. I'm a female.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times people like you, I get something good. It's like, oh, who'd you fuck? Like,
right,
that's just
right.
Or I hear them say about other, you know, I've heard people say about Whitney. Oh yeah. She fucked her way. Any woman that's successful, she fucked her way.
Sure. It's such a cop out. Yeah. It's an easy cop out of being like, oh, well, she must have. It's like, well, or maybe she was just fucking really talented and worked her ass off. You know?
Yeah. It's never just that she's funny. It's always, they always try and equate it with sex or whatever. So
yeah, that is unfortunate. That can still kind of be a default in something. Well, and especially with someone like Whitney Cummings, who's so blatantly talented.
Oh,
like, I mean, like literally
worked her ass off.
Yeah. And I mean, she's been grinding for years and she's like, I mean, I've seen her.
She's so good.
I've seen her on TV, but like watching her live and watching, like, you know, I mean, like five shows over three nights, I'm like, holy shit. Like just, it's a whole, you know, it blew my mind.
No, she's really good.
You know what I just thought of that I hadn't even really put together for a while. And this may be one of the winners of COVID-19, one of the people who won this pandemic, Brad Williams. I don't know if you remember the story about him and his indiscretions on that podcast where he talked about it just disappeared because COVID happened and like people just forgot that ever happened.
See, that's what I'm talking about when people that are scared right now, it's probably he's one of oh, you're right. How did that not come back up during this time?
Well, because people were just like distracted, you know.
No, but I mean, how has it not come up now with the D'Elia thing, where they're trying to attack male comedians?
Good question. I don't know. Yeah. I don't that, but
that's
I mean,
that's a good point. I totally forgot about that.
That thing came and went pretty quick, you know, because like literally that was kind of ramping up, and then COVID hit, and it was like, oh, well, on to this. So,
yeah,
lucky.
Oh, he's probably saying his prayers right now that doesn't come back out.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Next story in the news, Jen, I want to ask your opinion on this. Scientists are searching for our universe for signs of alien civilization. They said they've found up to 36 planets with alien life in our universe. What do you think about that? Do you believe in aliens? You think there's sentient life out there?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
I don't know if I believe they've been here.
Sure.
But I definitely think, like, why would we be the only planet with life? You know what I mean? Like, I definitely think there's got to be some other life on other planets.
It just seems to make sense in a universe vast and infinite almost. Well, how, you know.
With how huge it is, why would we be the only ones?
Right. They always say, oh, it's like one in, you know, 100 billion trillion, whatever the odds are of Earth happening, you know, like sentient life or, you know, but I'm always like, yeah, that's pretty bad odds. But also in a universe that's supposed to be infinite, never expanding, all of a sudden those odds are pretty fucking good, right?
Yeah.
It seems that way.
I would think so. I think they'd be really good. Also, I mean, maybe they have been here. I mean, we've traveled you know,
so yeah,
why not? Who knows?
Yeah, maybe they could have gotten up and running before we did. They had their own SpaceX that got here.
Their own SpaceX. Did you watch that rocket launch?
I did. That was
pretty... Oh my god, I was having like an anxiety attack watching it.
I know, right?
That is insane. How are you going to be one of those guys in there and not be freaking the fuck out?
You know what? I trust Elon Musk more than I trust NASA. So
oh my God.
I would
amazing.
Like the if Elon Musk's involved, I'm like, all right, I'm good. I think I am convinced that guy is either a robot, a alien, or a time traveler, or some combination of those three things.
He might be an alien. I would believe that.
That guy is crazy in a good way.
Yeah. His brain is of like not on the same level as anyone.
Oh, absolutely. He's like the next, at the very least, the next jump in evolution in man. Because I mean, have you ever listened to him on interviews?
I've only listened to him on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Okay. Yeah, I do too. Most of the places I've heard him, all the two times he's been on there. But it's so interesting when Joe asks him or anyone asks him a question, he has this, he like stops. And you can see him really ponder it. Like he's very thoughtful and thinks about like he's like, okay, this. And then he like turns and he responds. He's like, it's like, oh, what the fuck is happening in your brain? Right. Like right now.
Sometimes there's such a dead pause that you're like, are you okay? Yeah.
He's just constantly having strokes, but it just makes him smarter.
That's what I love about the Rogan podcast though. I would never listen to some of the people that I hear on, I just listen to everything he does because I love him. Even if I'm like, I don't know, like I've never listened to a physicist before. I don't
right.
know. I just listen to everyone. I'm like, oh,
well, it's
and he can talk to all of them too. Even if he doesn't really understand what they're saying, he's so good.
Well, he's just really great at letting people kind of do what they do best and kind of drawing it out and just kind of keeping it going and just allowing the people to talk about what they do.
What did you think about when Elon Musk was saying that he thinks we live in a simulated universe? That was blowing my mind because I'd never heard of that before.
Oh, really? You've never heard that? Oh God. That's something. I mean, I've done a lot of psychedelics in my life, so I've definitely, that thought has crossed my mind more than once. So I'm pretty open-minded. I'm not convinced we are, but I'm not convinced we're not.
Yeah. It makes you look at things differently.
Yeah.
Ever since I heard that podcast, I was like, kind of think about stuff different.
Well, when you start to look at where we're going and how we're integrating with technology and how eventually, you know, he basically was saying in that interview how we are basically already integrated with technology with Facebook. I mean, it's got our picture, it's got our profile, it's got our information. It kind of has an algorithm that's starting to know us. So we, in a way, we are already kind of one with technology. So it's not that far of a leap to be us integrated into a technology where we're living this other life. So maybe we're just a step, a version of that that already happened.
It's so crazy.
If that's true, it makes me very disappointed in whoever's running my life. I'm like, you know, like, oh man, that person sucks worse than I do.
It made me feel a lot better though, because I'm like, oh, I don't have to take things so seriously. I'm just sort of this little experiment.
Yeah.
Wandering around, floating around.
But I mean, you kind of are either way, right? No matter what, whether you're a simulation or not, or whether, you know, even if you, from that to believing in God or anything in between, that's kind of what we are, right?
I know. I just never thought of it that when I was, up until like 35, I took everything so seriously.
Really?
Yeah. So thinking differently now is so new to me.
Interesting. Why so serious? Why? What made you take
it? I used to cry when I couldn't pay my Verizon bill. Now I'm like, well, what are they going to do? They're just going to have to wait.
Yeah.
I mean, I can pay it now, but you know, it's just small things like that would just send me over the edge. It was awful.
Well, so you, was there a change? What made that change for you?
I think it just came with age.
Yeah. Just realizing it's just kind of whatever. You don't really have the ability to make like being.
Sort of, I don't think I ever like trusted before that things would work out. And now I'm finding out the more I just trust that they'll work out, they work out.
Yeah. Things just kind of work. They just kind of happen. It just works out. Yeah.
Like not feeling like you have to control everything.
Sure.
I think that's probably what I had, this feeling of like, it's all on me. I have to control what happens.
And interesting.
Like, no, just sit back. Put in all the work and then just sort of let it
go.
Let it play out as it's going to.
You know, this might resonate with you considering your acting background and improv background. But I, you know, I have background in improv also. And I always said I lived my life like one giant improv scene. I basically yes and everything. Just any situation that came in life, I was just like, yeah, and then add on, and like I've gotten
what you should do.
Yeah, and it's just things will happen, and they're like, I don't know what this is gonna come like. I don't know, but okay, yeah, I don't know you, stranger, and I'm in Mexico, but you're inviting me on your boat. We'll see what happens. Like, you know, my head may end up in a duffel bag, or I may be doing mounds of great cocaine with hookers in any time. I don't next port. I don't know. I don't know, but it's gonna be fun. Either way, sounds like an adventure and something I've never done before. So
yeah, no, it's a good way to live.
Definitely. And I think maybe that's we can teach that to the aliens that may or may not come to this planet. Our alien overlords. Yeah. You know, have you ever heard how that's how we evolved? Because aliens like injected their DNA into lower hominids, and that's how humans kind of evolved into the smarter apes.
No, I have not heard that.
Yeah, see.
Sounds right, though.
Yeah, sounds right. No. That's what Jen's like, fuck it, yeah, that's cool. Let's go with that.
We'll buy it.
All right, Jen. So before we let you go, we're going to do one last thing. With all my first-time guests, I play a game called The Rundown. It is a series of questions I ask. Individually, these questions don't mean much, but when you kind of put them together, they start to paint a picture of the individual. So I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, and you just answer them as you see fit, okay?
Okay. Still nervous.
Still nervous. No, don't be nervous. It's okay. You want to win that car, but it's not that nice for cars. It's a 92 Geo Metro. If you had a time machine and could visit any time in history, what time in history would that be and why?
Oh, man. I'm going to say maybe I would want to visit the 1920s.
The Roaring 20s?
Yeah.
Yeah? What is it, the dancing, the Art Deco architecture?
More of a time when maybe people were starting to break out. Is that when like speakeasies might have become pretty popular?
Well, Prohibition was in that time. So speakeasies and stuff were definitely a thing. Yeah.
I feel like people were sort of breaking out of their shell in a way.
Okay. So you want to have
the fashion was pretty cool from what I've seen.
That's true. I will say 1920s fashion was people still dressed classy. Like everything was an event. You'd go to the grocery store in like a 3-piece suit and a top hat.
Yeah.
I don't have enough.
Drink some straight whiskey.
Yeah. Some bourbon, some illegal bourbon. Yeah. So basically you're saying you want to have a password to get drunk. You need to know the secret code word to get drunk is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Jen's going to start going to bars and just have some weird code word. She's like, Big Ben. Like, what? Anyway, I'm going to go drink now. Like, all right, lady. Cut her off. All right. If you could elect a celebrity president, who would it be? Any celebrity.
Presidents. This is a tough one.
I know. So many options. You got to deal with them for 4 years.
I think I'm going to go with Meryl Streep.
All right. Why Meryl Streep?
And I would like to have Joe Rogan as her VP.
I'd vote for that ticket.
Doesn't Meryl Streep just make you feel comforted?
She does. Everything about her makes me feel like it's going to be okay.
Yeah. She has a soft but sort of stern way of talking. You believe? Yeah. I think I would feel very safe.
Sure.
If she gave a daily briefing.
Yeah, it'd be calm and measured. And she'd probably give you like a recipe for cookies at the end.
But she's also not going to take any shit from other countries.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if you've seen The Devil Wears Prada, but she's pretty badass in that.
I have seen that. I'm not going to lie. I'll vote for that ticket. Let's make that happen. In a doomsday/zombie apocalypse scenario, so similar to what we're what's happening now, but just a little worse. how long do you think you'd survive?
Oh, at least 90 days.
90 days?
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty bold. Why do you say 90 days? You know how to use a gun? Good shot. What, do you got a crossbow over there in Studio City?
Well, it's like we talked about being a comic, and like, I feel like I can survive on very little.
Okay. It's true.
And I've also learned how to be very resourceful.
Yeah.
From my many years of being a very broke comic.
That's true.
I feel like I could make a piece of bread last about 4 days or five, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Why are you talking like white bread, wheat bread, whole wheat, 9 grain?
It would probably have to be wheat. You probably need those nutrients.
That's there you go. Not all that starchy shit. Not just,
I'm also pretty athletic, so I feel like I could run away from some danger if I needed to.
Do you think you'd join up with a group, or would you just be a lone wolf rogue out on your own?
Yeah, I think I'd like to join with a group, but not too big of a group. Maybe just like 5 people.
5 seems good. More than that, you got a wild card in there, you know? It'll turn you over for a bucket of apple juice or something.
I'd have to hook up with some people who could acquire some firearms.
There you go. There's definitely, just go to East LA. I got a couple cousins that live there. I'll give you their names.
I think I've had sex with a few people who might be able to acquire firearms.
There you go. Good to go. Just like, hey, I got to call in that favor.
Hey, I'm not asking you for stage time, but can I get a firearm?
Yeah, right. It's either guns or stage time, one of the two. Jeez. all right. How about in a movie? Who would play you in a movie? In the movie about Jen, who would play you?
Oh, man.
Meryl Streep.
In my dreams, it would be Kristen Wiig.
Okay. All right.
If I could choose my favorite person that I think, that's why I say in my dreams, I like to think I have some similarities to her. Other people might not think so.
I could see it.
But she's kind of my favorite comedic actress that I think would be maybe be able to be like as weird and quirky as I have a tendency to be sometimes.
Yeah. All right. I could see that.
I mean, I did cry when I watched Bridesmaids, and you weren't supposed to cry, but I connected a little too much when she drove that shitty car.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like all alone. I was like, this is sad.
Yeah, like I get
everybody
this.
Else in the theater's laughing, and I'm like, too close.
Yeah. Don't you get it, you heartless sons of bitches?
Too close to home.
She's trying her best. what's your go-to karaoke song?
The Beastie Boys, but I'm so bad at it.
Yeah, which song? Like Fight for Your Right to Party?
I love Sabotage.
Sabotage? All right.
I've loved them since I was in high school, so I always think I know their music really well until I try and sing it, and then I'm like, oh. Plus, yeah. I'm just a really bad singer. But
well, I don't think the Beastie Boys are necessarily talented singers either. I think you just have to kind of.
Well, I figure since I sing so bad, if I go for some rap, it'll be easier.
Oh, sure.
It actually makes it worse, I think.
That's yeah, that maybe not as good as you thought. Like, oh, this was a mistake. All right. Yeah. Let's see. We're gonna do one more. If you were a hip hop artist, what would your rap name be?
Oh. The Lonely Lover.
The Lonely Lover? All right. I'd buy that album. There you go.
Or just MC Lost.
Yeah, MC Hugs. With a Z.
MC Hugs.
Hugs,
yes.
With a Z, though. Two G's and a Z.
I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm down. Thank you. Might be changing careers now.
Yeah, it's never too soon. Never too soon.
MC Hugs does Beastie Boy cover songs.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. It's a whole new career, second chapter of your life. All right, Jen, before we let you go, tell everyone, shout out where they can find you, website, social media, anything like that.
My social media is at Jen Murphy Comedy, JenMurphy Comedy.
All right.
My website's jenmurphy.live, but nothing's happening on my website right now because all my dates got canceled. Yeah. There's some videos on there, though, if you want to watch some stand-up videos.
Yeah, go check out
jenmurphy.live.
Go check out Jen's videos and bookmark it so when she does get dates going again, which I know will be soon, you can go see her live. I know we have some listeners down there in Southern California where she's at, so check out Jen Murphy. Super talented, very funny. Thanks for coming on, Jen. I appreciate this. Good to see you again.
So fun.
Yeah, hopefully we can do it in person again soon sometime and entertain some live audiences.
Oh, I hope so.
Perfect. All right. We are going to get out of here. Go check out Jen, guys. Again, jenmurphy.live. We'll put the links in the comment section for this episode. Until next time, thank you for listening, guys.
And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Zoom shows, the Beastie Boys, Chris D'Elia's friends, the news, Whitney Cummings, and Joey Diaz. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!